Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome in to another edition of the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, episode 48. I am Kevin, joined with me as always, Andrew. How you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good. It's amazing how one shot can determine your mood for the next couple days. So one shot completely changes my mood. But, it's episode 48.
Yep.
And as always, or at least for the past several episodes, I'm giving you 48 in KU history. And of course,
what you got?
48 is the number of Gale Sayers, retired number for KU football. Yeah. He is a college football Hall of Famer. He is a pro football Hall of Famer. He's also famous for the film, or inspiring the film, Brian Song.
Mm-hmm.
Currently does some work with the university in terms of raising money. So Kansas Comet, Gale Sayers, number 48, is the, inspiration for this podcast.
There you go.
The patron saint of this podcast for this episode.
There you have it. Well, on this podcast episode, we will be talking about TCU, Texas Tech, the Big 12. We're going to do some power rankings. We're going to do a roadmap to the Big 12 regular season victory, 10 straight, and we're going to preview Texas. But first, we got to talk about Johnny's Tavern, our sponsor. We had a little watch party last night, Andrew. Great turnout out at the P&L Johnny's. What did you think?
I had a great time. Yeah. You know, it was a really good turnout. Saw some people who were there last time, saw some new faces. I think everybody had a good time. You know, especially got pretty cool at the ending when the Wiggins basket went in, and then everybody kind of lost their minds giving out high fives. There was lots of high fives and high tens to be given out at Johnny's Tavern last night. But it was a lot of fun, and maybe we'll do something again by the end of the season or do something for the Big 12 tournament. But I think it was a pretty good turnout. I think everybody had a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, everyone seemed to enjoy it.
Gave out some gift cards. People walked away with some Johnny's cash. It was good.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people said they wanted to do another one, so we'll see. We'll certainly keep you posted on the podcast. But
we lucked out, because if you all remember, and I'm sure you've all been listening since the beginning, the last one we had was in December for the Florida game, and we lost.
Yeah.
And, if there's one thing that I know about the KU fan base, is that it can get kind of superstitious about things like this, what shirt you're wearing, and specifically where it was or where you saw the loss, the location. So if we would have lost that game last night, I don't know what we would do. Maybe change to a different Johnny's, just call it off. Just say this is a bad idea. But luckily, we can do it again.
We can do it again.
We'll let you know if we do it again.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about that TCU game for like 10 seconds. I don't even really know what to say about it because TCU is so bad. But what do you got on TCU?
I'll just say that it was a little bit of a rough first half. We were only up 7 going into halftime, 47-40. But then really pulled away at the end. Perry Ellis could not miss a shot. You know, I think he was 13 for 15 from the field, and one of his misses was an immediate putback, which, you know, you barely count as a miss. So Perry played the game of his life on Saturday. Whatever the opposite of that is, he played that last night.
Yeah. So let's get into that Texas Tech game that we've been sort of talking about. 64-63 KU. Some storylines from the game. I think there are several, but I guess the first one, let's start on a positive note. Wiggins and Embiid shine. The freshman duo really take over the game. Wiggins was terrific in the second half, driving to the basket, getting fouled, and really kind of pressing the issue. Embiid played over 30 minutes. I think they said they wanted to keep him to 25, but I think he played 32 or 33 minutes. So it's good to see him back, hit some shots early in the game, and then was really solid throughout. So any thoughts on Wiggins and Embiid overall?
You know, they were the two stars of the game and really the only ones who showed up in Lubbock.
Yeah.
No one really played well. You can't point to another player outside of Mr. Wiggins or Mr. Embiid and say, like, they had a great game. So, I mean, if we didn't have those two guys, this would have been a completely different story. I just can't wait for the game when everyone starts to play well.
Wouldn't that be
rather
nice?
Than just two.
See, this is so, like the opposite of 08, where you had a guy step up every week and or every game, and it might be a different guy that steps up to score. But that didn't mean everyone else just didn't show up at all. Like, they were still there and making good plays and being good teammates. This is kind of different. We're seeing, you know, where two or three guys might show up and the rest of the team's gone. And then, you know, kind of, anyway, it's a little different, but I think we still have enough time. We still got, we've obviously seen all of the players play well, but like you said, we got to see it all happen at once.
I think you're right. Let's talk about some specific guys. Nadir Tharp, Perry Ellis, no field goals last night, basically no shows. And, you know, a couple other things, no Frank Mason, no Brandon Green, no Connor Frankamp in the second half. You know, Connor Frankamp had a 5 trillion in the first half. 5 minutes, no other statistic recorded. That's tough.
That's tough. That's tough. And, you know, I was really surprised that because – you know, Nadir was not playing very well, that we didn't see Mason or Frankamp at all in the second half. You know, you and I were talking about it during the game. Like, why is he still out there? You know, like, at least take him off the ball, especially late when he was having those turnovers. And anyway, it was kind of baffling, especially since he, you know, he played 5 minutes in the first half. You would have expected to see him play a few more in the second, just never happened. The other maybe storyline that other than maybe the ending was the inability of us to play at our pace. This game was going to be won if we made it to 70 points, I think, pretty easily. I don't think they could score with us, but if it was going to be in the 50s or low 60s, I really thought that they could win this game, and that's kind of how it turned out. And so that's kind of a question. Why couldn't we get going on offense? Why could we not press the issue a little bit? And I was a little surprised we didn't see the press. What are your thoughts on that? Just to maybe pump it up a little bit.
I'm not surprised about the press, but, you know, they definitely were able to control the tempo. You know, they definitely tried to limit possessions, take up full time in the shot clock. And we really didn't respond with a quick offensive tempo either. I mean, we were letting it go down. Didn't get a lot of transition stuff. You know, we're going to have to be able to control the pace if we're going to be incredibly successful going forward. And, you know, it's a tough game playing on the road against, you know, packed house. But that's one thing that we definitely need to improve on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, we're still in Big 12 play. We actually still lead the Big 12 in points per game, which is kind of surprising after seeing, you know, 64-63. But a couple big scoring games have helped that number to be inflated, but let's talk about the very end, because
okay,
that
the
was
the very end was let's go through it with our Johnny's crew here.
Okay,
well, what happened last night? So we've got the game on Jayhawk Network on most of the TVs in the Johnny's at P&L
38th
right?
spot.
However, ESPNU is on a couple TVs down below, if you're familiar with the Johnny's and Power and Light District, and they are 5 seconds ahead with a live look-in of the game. So everyone is watching the lower game, the lower screen, kind of leaning over the rail. But so at the very end, Tharp brings it down the floor, passes to Ellis. Ellis has the entry pass into Embiid. Embiid kind of takes it into the lane, loses it, ball bounces the floor. Wiggins goes up with it. And what happens? The people at Johnny's switch all the ESPNUs back to the regular ESPN feed, which is 5 seconds behind. So we know what's going to happen. We just don't know if the ball's going to go in. So we get to see it all over again. Nadir brings it down, passes to Ellis. Ellis has the entry pass to Embiid. Embiid loses it. Wiggins gets it. And, okay, we did see it go in, but it was the longest 5 seconds.
The timing was hilarious.
Yeah, and they do just the switch. And so everyone was on this, watching this little TV. Had to find, go back to our other one. But luckily it went in. Everyone got out of their seats, started cheering. Felt like, you know, a big win. And it was a big win. Anytime you get a big win on the road, but that, I thought that was a pretty intense way to end it, specifically from how we were watching. But, you know, good to get a good win like this. You know, we've lost a couple of these, like at Colorado, the Villanova game, where it's tough down the stretch and we didn't pull it out. So it's good to get the one of these finally.
I like to think that Johnny was just pulling like a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial thing. Like he actually
basically
missed the shot.
Right.
But because they clicked something like down in the control room, the shot went in. Like I think that's what happened. I'm going to go with that. So very cool. It was a nice win. Always good to escape on the road. Like you said, let's talk about some stats. Only 6 assists on the whole night. Kind of a surprising number. You saw in that second half, it almost turned into just a let's get the ball in an angle and just drive. And that was kind of Wiggins' game, getting to the line, which was good. I mean, that was really the only offense we had, was really just penetrating and trying to get to the basket, but obviously didn't result in a lot of assists, which is kind of different from our normal game. So that was interesting. And then, you know, we shot the ball okay, 45%. We didn't shoot it well from three, 28%, but we did get to the line 30 times, which is nice to see. Like, so, and we made 22 of them. So that's not bad. Out rebounded them by only 2. So that was not great. 28-26. They do have some height, but you know, you'd like to see us get a little bit more than that. And then only 11 turnovers. So we weren't turning the ball over. It was just kind of one of those games where just we weren't scoring. slow
paced. We fixed that problem. There's just other problems have popped up. But let's talk about Wiggins real quick. 6 for 11 from the field. Good to see him shoot over 50% because he hasn't done that in a while. 6 for 8 from the line. 6 rebounds. 2 assists. 2 steals. 2 blocks, and including the block at the end that may have been one of the most crucial moments of the game. Embiid, 6 of 7 from the field. 6 of 8 from the line. Good to see that he can shoot free throws.
Yeah.
Going to be clutch, I think, coming down the stretch in the Big 12 and in the tournament. 8 boards and 1 block. Nobody else really did anything. No one scored over 6 points. Seldon and Tharp had 6. No one really stood out other than those 2 gentlemen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's try to figure out here between these 2. I think there's obviously 2 candidates who our player of the game is.
Here's the 3.
All right. Who's your player of the game? The number 1 overall pick in the draft or the number 2 overall pick in the draft?
Depends on who you think that is, but I think I'll go with Wiggins.
Okay.
Got the game-winning bucket. Did pretty well from the free throw line. He got to the free throw line. Played excellent defense. Embiid's close, but I think the last shot, you know, Embiid fumbled it and Wiggins is the one who put it in. That's what wins it for me.
I think you're right. You got to give it to the game winner. And he's just been pretty clutch there at the end, you know, being in the right spot to collect the shot. And obviously his athleticism helps a lot to get those tip in. So I'm giving it to him as well. How about the WTF of the game? There's a lot of options here. We've obviously got the veterans, Tharp and Ellis, being pretty terrible. Seldon kind of disappeared for 33 minutes of play, just like he did for the last couple games. Hasn't been that great. Any other WTF stand out or one of those?
I'm just going to say everybody except for Wiggins and Embiid.
Okay.
I mean, where were they? What happened, guys? So I'm just going to include everybody in there.
Yeah, I think that's fair. If I had to pick one out, I'd probably say Ellis. I just, you know, 0-for-3. Like, how many games has he had 0?
You know what? It's not just his offense. I think his defense was worse.
It was terrible. It was terrible. He was just a no-show. And you can't have that. I mean, they've shown, I don't know, I'm sure everyone's seen the statistics out there where, you know, he scores in double figures. KU is, you know, some crazy record. Well, we need that from you, man. We need him pretty bad, especially we need that kind of third scoring threat because you never know what you're going to get out of Embiid. Obviously, he's been pretty solid, but we got to have that veteran, and I know he's just a sophomore, but he needs to play that role. Yeah, so and yeah, I'm with you. Kind of everybody but those two sounds good to me. How about the Floorburns player of the game?
You cannot hope or wish good things to happen. You go make them happen because we are in attack mode for the entire 40 minutes. We do that, and we're going to have a fun locker room in about 2.5 hours.
All right, who you got?
I think I'm going to go with Embiid. Coming back from injury, coming back from some rest, put in, you know, 32 solid minutes, got some great statistics. He scored 18, got, what do you have, 8 rebounds and a block. You know, he was kind of all over the floor too, so I think he fought through. I think he said he was 90% healthy, so good to see him fight through it. Hopefully he can get even healthier, get up to 100%, whatever that even means. But I'm going to give it to Embiid just for fighting through, you know, playing pretty aggressive, even though he's still a little banged up.
I think that's fair. I might give it to Seldon, which makes no sense whatsoever, except he might have hit the biggest shot of the game other than the tip-in with that three from the elbow there to cut it to, I think it was a 4-point game, and he cut it to 1 or 5-point game, cut it to 2, whatever it was, late. That was a huge shot. We definitely needed it. Hadn't made any threes pretty much at all in a long time, so it was good to see him make that. So I don't know. I guess I'll give it to him just to be different. Let's look around, Andrew, the Big 12. Oh, wait. Do you have anything else to say about this game?
Just good to get a win. You know, we don't have a great record under Bill Self in Lubbock. I think we're now 4-3.
Yeah.
But you know, we were only 50%. Bill Self hadn't won there until a couple of years ago. So, I mean, this isn't always easy to go down to Lubbock and win. So it's good to come out with a win. People can complain and people can say, like people like Seth Davis can say the Jayhawks have lost their mojo. But I don't think that's true at all. I think Texas Tech is pretty good. It's good to get out of it. Anytime it's a road victory in the Big 12, you take it and run.
Agreed. All right, let's look around the Big 12.
Y'all ready for this? Come after me! I'm a man. I'm 40.
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
Dollar signs.
All right, let's start with the standings because they are nice and updated after last night. Texas losing and KU winning. Feels a little better. KU 11-2 now in the Big 12. Texas 9-4. Iowa State and OU are 8-5. K-State 7-5, but they play TCU tonight, so we'll just assume they go 8-5. West Virginia 7-6, Baylor 5-8 has climbed out of the sort of close to the bottom. Texas Tech 5-8, OSU now 4-9, TCU 0-12. So I guess the noteworthy thing is obviously other than KU and Texas, OSU is now 4-9 and has taken the Baylor spot as the essentially the last place team in the league other than TCU.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Never would have thought that would have happened. Like, that's just mind-boggling. I would have put all my money in the world that that wouldn't have happened. But, you know, they've still got some opportunity to come back up. But let's do a little power ranking to kind of give us an idea of how this is going to go. We have a new power ranking drop that I would like to unveil today, and we'll talk about it after we play it. But go ahead, Kevin.
All right.
No one could ever take them down. The power lies on their side. Go, go, Power Rankers! Go, go, Power Rankers! Go, go, Power Rankers! The mighty Jayhawks Power Rankers!
There you go.
Okay, first of all, it's incredibly funny. It's a little long, so we may cut it down in the future, but it had to be done the full length today. So what happened was I told Kevin, hey, we should do a segment regularly about the power rankings where we give the power ranking of the Big 12, but then we do a power ranking of something else, something kind of random. And Kevin said, oh, what should it be? And I came up with some weird things like some Kanye West power, maybe throw some Huey Lewis in the news.
Power of love,
or maybe like the He-Man. But Kevin said, what about Power Rangers? And I said, eh, if you can make it say power rankers, then that'd be great. And then 30 minutes later, he sends me an email with that in it. And I said, okay, that's what we're doing. So, Kevin, I want to say that's incredibly funny. I laughed really hard when I heard that. And two, you have a career in children's action TV show theme song singing if you want to do that. I think you could make like $12 an hour doing that.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, so maybe you need to move to Hollywood or Japan to wherever they make these weird TV shows and get involved in that business.
I'm going to think about that.
So, we're going to call this segment, I guess, Go-Go Power Rankers or Go-Go Power Rankings.
I like it.
Go-Go Power Rank some teams right now. You're going to do it this week. Give me your number one team.
KU.
Okay. Number two team, power ranking Kevin in the Big 12.
Texas.
Okay. Still keeping Texas.
Still keeping Texas.
Give me the round out the top five because these are crucial here.
I think it's pretty easy, honestly. I think I can go right down the standings, to be honest. We got KU, Texas, Iowa State, Oklahoma, K-State. I think that's kind of where we're at right now.
Then where do you put – I'll have a couple issues with those, but where do you put the bottom five?
West Virginia, six. And I think I'll still put Oklahoma State, seven, only because I think they're about to win some games. Baylor – eight, man, Tech nine, but I really just wanted to say Tech nine. TCU 10. It feels bad putting Tech at nine because they're playing so well, but
because you can say Tech nine,
that was really the only reason.
Not complain about that. I think I'm going to put Iowa State second because I think that's where they're going to finish. And they've been playing fairly well lately, other than the West Virginia loss last month. So I think that's where I put it. I think otherwise I like what you've done. But let's go ahead. We're going to power rank something else now.
Okay.
Because Kevin, you can power rank anything.
Anything.
Anything can be power ranked.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear the drop one more time.
We got to do the drop again?
Play the drop one more time.
One more time. All right.
Here we go. One more time.
No one could ever take them down. The power lies on their side. Go, go, Power Rankers. Go, go, Power Rankers. Go, go, Power Rankers. The mighty Jayhawk Power
Rankers. I cut this a little short. Okay, so I should tell you this, that on iTunes, there are several Power Ranger karaoke versions to choose from.
Oh, really?
And I chose the first one. It's just the first one. That was what I chose. Okay. But just to let you know, if you're in the market for some Power Ranger karaoke music, iTunes is a great source. Paid 99 cents for that. So we're going to use that damn drop, even if I have to cut it down.
So we're going to go power rank basketball commentators, announcers, color analysts. I'm not going to give you much of an option. So, you know, your typical Brett Musburgers or Jimmy Dykes or whoever. This is Dick Vitale, the whole crew. You get the options of Jay Billis, whatever you want to do. But we'll do it differently when we do this segment. But for how I'm going to plan it today, give me your least favorite person, play-by-play analyst, sideline reporter, who you got? Least favorite.
Oh, man, that's tough.
On the spot.
Gottlieb is kind of annoying. I think he is one of those guys. He's very knowledgeable, but he also knows he's really knowledgeable, and it comes off kind of haughty and douchey to me. You compare that with someone like Billis, who's also really knowledgeable, played the game obviously, but he doesn't come off that way. A little bit Gottlieb kind of bugs me. So I'm going to put him number one.
Number one is the least favorite. So we're putting him at like 221.
Right. Yep. 221.
We're going to skip up to number four. Give me your top three. And this isn't necessarily like your ideal one, but who are your three favorite people? Not necessarily who always call KU games, but power rank me some play-by-play people.
My favorites?
Yes.
I got to put Billis first. He's a lawyer. We're lawyers. So I respect that he has turned his law degree into this.
Talking about basketball?
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what I want to do. So good for him, and he's great. And I think most people agree with that. I really like Gus Johnson, even though he's not playing, he's not doing college basketball anymore. I hope that he comes back because he has some terrific drops out there. I don't know. Fran's okay. He doesn't bother me. Fran Fischilla. And I do like most of the CBS guys. Kevin Harlan obviously has some Kansas ties, so I enjoy listening to him. And I'm probably on the minority here, but I don't mind Dick Vitale. And I think that's kind of one that most people would disagree with, but I kind of just take him for what he is, and that's kind of why I kind of like him. Any disagreements with those?
I like those. You know, and I'm not a guy who really criticizes the announcers. Like, I really don't care. It rarely gets to me. But those are all pretty solid. I really like the CBS crews, the people that they trot out. It seems a little bit more professional, or maybe it's just because I associate it with the
tournament. Yeah,
I think that may be it. Like Jim Nance and Clark Kellogg, like those guys. Yeah, Vern Lundquist, like those guys, kind of makes me feel like, okay, this is basketball right here. This is a mess, and this is the not mess around crew.
Yeah, because
I don't know who these other guys are, but this over here, this is the not mess around crew.
Because you see them for big games, like the only times we're on CBS is either a big game, like some afternoon, you know, Saturday or Sunday afternoon game that's prime time, or not prime time, but a big game, or the tournament. Like, that's the only time we're on CBS, so you see those guys for big games. I guess that makes sense.
All right, so we just power ranked that. They just got power ranked.
They just
got go power ranked.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's move on to
some predictions.
Predictions. All right, you.
I'm gonna give them to you.
Sure.
That for this week, TCU at K-State, which will have happened by the time you listen to this podcast, more than likely.
K-State.
Okay. Baylor at West Virginia. This is an
interesting one. See, this is tough. West Virginia won at Baylor, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with West Virginia.
I think I am, too. That'll be interesting, though. Baylor needs that, obviously. Tech at K-State. Or, I'm sorry, Tech at Oklahoma State.
This is the Jeff Orbel.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go Oklahoma State.
Yeah, they got to win that game. In fact, I bet if you set the line at 15 points, which side are you taking?
I think I take Texas Tech, but barely. I think that's
They're gonna win.
They're gonna win big.
All right, K-State at Oklahoma, an interesting game.
K-State's not amazing on the road. I'm gonna go OU.
I am too. Iowa State at TCU.
I'll go with the Cyclones, the Hoiburgers.
Texas at KU. We'll talk about in a bit. Oklahoma State at TCU.
Oklahoma State.
And Oklahoma at KU will...
next Monday, we'll talk about that one briefly. But, yeah, I'll probably pick KU.
Fair enough.
You know how I do.
So that'll be interesting. There's some pretty good games this week, but none more important than ours, really, to define who's going to win the Big 12. I mean, it's just really, if we take care of business, that's, you know, it's pretty easy to decide who's going to win. But let's talk a little water cooler conversation.
Water cooler conversation.
All right, so continuing with the Big 12, let's talk a little championship math. You know, you get to the point in the season where it's just a few games left. We are creeping toward March, Andrew. Let's talk about some of these teams that are still technically in contention. Get the math into it and find out what KU has to do in terms of games left. What's the magic number?
Well, we're up 2 with 5 to go.
Okay.
And the team that's closest to us, 2 games back, is the next team we play. So if we beat Texas, we'll be up 3 games on the competition with 4 to go. So that would mean we need 2 wins.
Feeling pretty good.
The next 2 wins, I think that means you clinch a tie. Is that right?
I think so.
So if you beat, and especially OU, just right there as well, if we win at home the next 2 games, I think we'll have clinched at least a tie. Is that, I don't know if that math is correct, but at least it's really close.
Let's think about that. Okay, there's five games left. We win two. Okay, Texas
is
dropped.
That puts us at 13.
Yep, I think so.
Okay, I think that's right. So Texas has KU Saturday. That's us. And then they play home versus Baylor, at Oklahoma, home versus TCU, and at Texas Tech. So they've got, you know, I think the toughest matchup there other than us is the Oklahoma in Norman game. One to look out for, and especially determining seeding for the Big 12. That's going to be a big matchup.
Iowa State, seeding for the tournament. I mean, those are the games they look at.
Iowa State, the team I think is going to finish second, plays TCU this weekend. Then they play West Virginia at home. Remember, they got killed by West Virginia last week.
Right.
Then they play at K-State. That's going to be a tough game for them. At Baylor, and then home versus Oklahoma State. Not an easy path.
No.
But I still think that they're going to finish second. We'll see, though. OU, we've gone through a little bit, but they play K-State at home, at KU. That's a big Monday next week. Home versus Texas, home versus West Virginia, and then at TCU. And then our old pal K-State, you know, play TCU tonight, OU this weekend in Norman. And then they go to Lubbock to play Texas Tech, home versus Iowa State, at Oklahoma State, and then home versus Baylor. So going to be tough for if we win this weekend especially, it's going to be hard for anybody to come back.
Yeah, there's a lot of losses on all those schedules.
Yeah, because they play each other several times.
Yeah,
you know, Texas plays OU, K-State plays Iowa State. It's
so anyway, 10 straight is looking pretty nice at this point, and we still have games at home, several games at home. Texas, obviously, Oklahoma, Texas Tech at home. We still got to go to Morgantown, which will be a tough game. But, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about where we're at right now. I think that four losses will win this league outright with no problem. And so, anyway, that's kind of where I'm at. What about you?
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think, what do you think we'll finish with? Do you think we'll lose any of these games coming up?
I think we'll lose one more just by the odds. You know, kind of one of those things like, If you look at it game by game, maybe we'll be favored in every game remaining. But like if you can, you know, look at it overall, I still think there's another loss on the schedule. So, but three losses, I mean, that's 15-3 is pretty darn good.
Especially in this conference this
year. Yeah. Now here's a question for you. So we go 15-3, and let's say we win the tournament as well. We have seven losses. I'm talking when the Big 12 tournament. We have seven losses. Is that enough for a one seed with the number one RPI and number one strength of schedule?
In recent history, one team has gotten a one seed with seven losses. And that was Michigan State.
Michigan State,
I think,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
Sounds right.
They had the number three strength of schedule and had a lot of good wins. So we would be in a similar boat. Like there would be precedent. Now that's, you know, different with, you know, the context is different with, you know, you've got this undefeated Wichita State team in there. You've got this Syracuse team and Arizona still in contention. So there's different context, but I mean, there is precedent for us to do that. Not going to be easy, but I think that puts us as good an argument as anybody else.
Crazy to think too. I mean, when we had four losses in the non-con, you and I even said, let's not think about this in terms of we're chasing a one seed. You know, we just got to get better, be playing good by March and blah, blah, blah. But there's still a chance.
I still think that's true. I just,
right.
Like a one seed, that'd be great.
Yeah, obviously, one seeds are nice. The numbers prove that being a one is a lot better than being a two. So anyway, we'll see. Let's preview Texas a little bit since that's a big game coming up, especially for the Big 12 standings.
Right. So this game is on Saturday. The last time we played Texas in Austin earlier this month, it was our worst game of the year. We lost by 12,
ugh.
81-69. So I've got a couple redemption roadmap points for us that we need to look for if we're going to win this game. So the first thing I think we need to do is something that we need to look for is to play Kansas basketball, which is play strong in the paint, You know, last game earlier this month, Texas out-rebounded KU 44-37. They blocked 12 of our shots.
Crazy.
We only had 4 blocks. I mean, they were just stronger in the paint, which is usually what we do to people. We usually bully people around in the paint down low, usually have bigger guys, guys who can score the basket, but totally shifted what happened, totally reversed roles. So we've got to play well against Cameron Ridley, against Jonathan Holmes. Got to be stronger down low. And that's going to be Embiid playing well, Perry scoring the ball, playing good defense. And then the guys off the bench bringing a little bit of spark. That did not happen in the earlier game and has to happen if we have any shot at redemption.
Hey, Andrew, was Tarik Black out for that game? I can't remember.
I can look for you.
I was just curious because I remember thinking that Tarik would at least match up maybe a little better with Ridley. But I couldn't remember if he was out or anyway, doesn't matter. But anyway, so it'll be interesting to see how Embiid does against Ridley again and what kind of matchup that will be because, yeah, everybody got pushed around by him. It was just kind of reminded me of that game against Josh Smith, whatever it was, last year, a couple years ago, when he just manhandled us.
Yeah, Tarik Black played 6 minutes.
Okay, he was there. Well, he's been playing better recently, so it might be interesting to see how many minutes he gets. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that we got to play our game, and that's I think it will. I think the field house will be juicy. Obviously, it'll be crazy in there, and being that it's Texas and they beat us before. Oh, sorry, SportsCenter sending me an update.
What happened? Let us all know.
Boston College rallies to tie unbeaten Syracuse with 8:07 left. Watch on ESPN2.
Oh, okay, so I'm going to go do that after we're done.
It actually is on my TV right here next to me.
Okay. But let's move on to the next little mile marker on the roadmap. Wiggins needs to be consistent in this game. Mm-hmm. In that game, he was 2-for-12 with 7 points. He's got to be our superstar. We're going to beat this team. What say you, Kevin?
I think he will be. I think he's starting to figure it out a little bit. More and more. He's looking like the best player on the court every time he plays. And even when he's not making shots, he's still impacting the game. That's what you got to see. And everyone keeps saying, oh, he leaves you wanting more. Well, he's playing pretty well. Like, I mean, I agree he leaves you wanting more, but he leaves you wanting to dunk on somebody. He doesn't leave you wanting to guard better. He doesn't leave you wanting to, you know, to make threes or whatever. But he's impacting the game in a lot of ways and probably doesn't get the praise that he should. And anyway, he's playing well. He's averaging over 16 points, Big 12 play. It will be interesting to see if he can do that again on Saturday, and I think he will.
I think so, too. He's got to if we're going to win. A couple of things before we wrap up here. Got to have some stable point guard play from Nadir. For the last game, he was 1-for-4 for 3 points and 3 assists. Very non-existent. He played a lot of minutes in that game, but wasn't who he needed to be. And coming off this Texas Tech game, we're expecting big things from Nadir. He's got to step up because when he plays well, this team does well.
Yeah. He's got to play better. There's just no excuse. I mean, he's supposedly the leader. You know, he says, I'm the leader. Well, if you're the leader, man, you got to show it. And he did not. He was not leading by example in that last game. The freshman took over, and it was good to see. But we're gonna need him to play well to go a long ways, and I think he will. I think he'll have a nice little jump back. He seems to bounce back a little bit after adversity. You know, when he was benched for a game, was starting, he bounced back, and when he was benched in the second half, whatever earlier this year, he bounced back the next game. So I'm expecting him to play well. He needs to play well and get that mojo back.
The last thing, will we change anything on the defensive end? You know, because we've seen this team once. Got to do something different if we're going to do it or execute better. So does anyone different guard Jonathan Holmes? Do you see us doing anything different with that matchup?
I don't know. That will be interesting. We've been guarding pretty well, actually, except for that K-State game where we couldn't really guard anybody. But the numbers actually say that we're guarding pretty well, even though I don't know that we really are. Perry's been pretty terrible, but and Nadir's been pretty terrible. But I think we're actually going to keep them under 70 points in this game. And that's just kind of my my thought. I don't think that this game will be in the 80s. I think it's going to be somewhere like 75, 65 KU. So what do you think about that?
No, I think you're right. I think that that's how I see it. But my last question is, do we do anything different with Isaiah Taylor? You know, they're a stud freshman.
Right.
In the last game, he certainly had a good game. He had 23 points, shot 7 for 10 from the field.
He's good.
What's our perimeter going to do? We put Wiggins on him? Wiggins on Holmes? Wiggins on everybody? What are we
Let's
doing?
Just make a bunch of Wigginses. Just bring Wichita State's Wiggins over, get his dad on the court. I think that it'll be a combination all game. But we've seen a lot where, you know, Wiggins will start off on somebody and then he'll switch over. And I think that's a good plan. The only issue is if you put someone like Nadir on a really good scorer and then the guy just starts getting into a rhythm because Nadir's guarding him and he just gets by him or he just shoots over him. Then you got a guy that's in a rhythm and now Wiggins is guarding him. Whereas if you put Wiggins on him to start, he may not be in that rhythm at that point in the game. So it'll be interesting to see how Self does that going forward. Or is he going to switch guys, or, you know, put Wiggins on somebody in the second half or switch Wiggins to, you know, somebody else. So you saw like Wiggins shut down Heslip. Like you just switched to Heslip. Like we got our best defender guarding the little white guy that's just running all over the court. It's kind of interesting that we have that luxury, but I'd like to see Wiggins just shut somebody down, like their best player, take the head off the snake just at the beginning and see if he can take it the whole game. But maybe it's just me.
I think you're right. Well, it'll be a great game this weekend. If we get the win, it's going to look great for our Big 12 chances. Before we go, let's do our Johnny's gift card giveaway, mm-hmm. where you can get $30 in Johnny's cash. Just pick up your card at the Power and Light location of Johnny's. But let's do it this way, Kevin. This past weekend was the dunk contest for the NBA. Our good friend, Benjamin McLemore,
sure.
participated. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see his dunk?
I did. I wasn't live. I was actually in Vegas this weekend, so I was watching it on my phone.
Okay, you should have bet on the dunk contest.
Yeah.
Can you do that? I think you can.
Well, I think you normally can, but this year is all the crazy rules, so there wasn't really any reason to.
That's right. So Ben McLemore's dunk, if you haven't seen it, maybe look down at your screen, and Kevin will put it on the the advanced podcast or the enhanced podcast?
Enhanced podcast.
And if he doesn't figure it out, then just Google it.
I'll put it up.
But anyway, he did a pretty cool dunk with Shaq, where Shaq came out. I didn't really understand the whole concept because was Shaq the king or was McLemore the king?
That was weird, yeah.
But anyway, there was a giant throne and Shaq sat in the throne and McLemore did a kind of jump man, Michael Jordan spread the legs thing over Shaq to get, you know, it's a good dunk. And maybe the best of the night up until that point. Maybe Paul George had him until John Wall did his pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
Grab the ball, pump it, and then dunk it backwards. That was pretty amazing.
I'm excited for Wiggins to be in the dunk contest, which will be maybe next year. Let's try that again. McLemore, his dunk was by far the most photogenic, though. Did you see, like, have you seen that picture?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
It's so cool. Like, look down at your iPhone right now, and you will see it where he's, like, got his legs spread. He's just, I mean, in live, like when you see it in a video, it's like, oh, that was okay. But when you see it like still, you're like, whoa.
Well, you know, and Ben McLemore, he does great dunks. Or he's better in slow motion because the Kings have been taking those slow motion image captures of him dunking.
Yeah.
And those, I could watch those all day.
No kidding.
So I guess my question to you, and then the question we'll pose to the podcasting audience, is if KU alumni had a dunk contest, who would you put in it and who do you think would win?
Ooh, that's interesting. Well, does Wiggins count? Because he'd probably
Wiggins
be in
counts.
It.
Wiggins counts.
I would put Wiggins. I would put Darren Hancock.
Oh, yeah.
I would put Kenny Gregory. I would put, Elijah Johnson was really, really, really good when he was a freshman. Like, I don't know if he still has it, but, I mean, he had a crazy vertical. I saw him jump over. Who was in practice? I was camp, or I was down at the field. Anyway, he jumped over somebody and dunked on, and it It was like a 7-footer. I can't remember who it was. Anyway, he'd be pretty good, but I'm going to leave him out. You know, Justin Wesley's pretty good. You don't really think about him, but he's crazy athletic. He does some crazy dunks in the dunk line. I gotta get one more. I'm going to think about it. Who you got?
I think I would put Thomas Robinson in it.
Oh, that'd be good.
Not because he would do anything tricky.
Thunder.
But I would just tell him to dunk it as hard as he can and try to break the backboard.
Right.
Because I think he probably could.
Yeah, if he really wanted to.
So, and that would win it. That would win the contest.
Right. Because
he couldn't go anymore. It'd be over.
Yeah. They'd
no there wouldn't basketball. Be another goal. So, yeah. So, for the Johnny's gift card giveaway, tell us your favorite KU dunker. What would you like to see this dunk contest look like, and who do you think would win, and maybe even what kind of dunk they did. Be creative with it, and the best one will get $30 to Johnny's Taverns.
I like it. Good call. Well, let's get out of here, Andrew. We truly appreciate everybody listening. Please go to iTunes, download, subscribe, rate, comment, leave us some message on there. Really helps us to get the podcast out to the rest of the folks, KU fans, who might be searching for a podcast, might be able to find us on iTunes. Thanks so much. You can find me at Jayhawk Talk. You can find Andrew at Sherlock Hoops. We will catch you next time. And rock chalk. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawks. Hawk fans for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawks.